What time is
Love
it?
Love Talk Radio.
Hey, what time is it, kids? It's not Howdy Doody time. It's Erie House Radio time. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. Here along with
Dave Nickley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And here along with,
this is CW, just tagging along for the ride.
Wonderful.
Oh, you're doing more than tagging along. Sometimes you're carrying us. Anyway.
No wonder she has a sore back.
Yes.
But sometimes when we talk, when Dale and I talk, I hear her say, oh, my aching back. So it must be from carrying us.
Yes.
True. Somebody get the absorbing junior.
Yeah, you're lucky. Dale and I have to take absorbing senior.
Yes. Double senior. The uber geriatric version. It's got a picture of Father Time on the package.
He moves faster than we do. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and he ain't looking too good. But why do you think he wears a black robe? Anyway, wrapping up Typewriter Week, another CBS Radio Mystery Theater tonight, and a darn good one.
Yep, interesting story, and starring it's starring Jerry Stiller. The only reason to turn on a couple of shows I used to occasionally turn on, because he is just so funny. And of course, he was from the great comedy team of Stiller and Mira. And Mira also did a mystery theater, and they are parents of Ben Stiller, who wrote on his name because he, doesn't quite have the talent they have. But anyway,
well, at least we have him to blame for. We have Jerry to blame for something.
There you go. Blame for a bunch of laughs. He's got, and he's just wonderful in this tonight. I'm really looking forward to sharing this one tonight.
I've always found comics have that wonderful darkness that they can channel into Michael Keaton when he did the first movie version of Batman. He's done some other things that he can be really dark, and other comics as well.
Oh, I think Robin Williams' best work was when he did a straight role.
Oh, yeah. He was
a
villain in some movie with, I think, De Niro as a policeman after him. He was some kind of a creep, and he played a really creepy creep.
And the whole movie, What Dreams May Come, was all What Dreams May Come, it was all about death.
Yes, and Jerry Lewis in The King of Comedy with De Niro.
Yeah, he was kind of dark in that. He was not a happy a customer even before Rupert Pupkin got a hold of him. He was not a pleasant man.
Yep. And many people say that's kind of how Jerry is. So many people say Jerry Lewis kind of was in real life.
Yeah, just be yourself on this one, Jerry.
he was something else in real life. He was,
Another great comic that I remember in a very dark story, it had some comical twists, but not because of the acting of the comic actor. And I'm talking about a HBO's version of Tales from the Crypt that had Bob Goldthwait and Don Rickles. Rickles actually was a somewhat dark character. Goldthwait played his normal hapless kind of a nerdy dude, but it was very dark, and the comedy was really from the horror prop in that one. I don't want to give away too many if you haven't seen it. It's good little tale.
Sounds very good. Need to take a look at that.
Well, and I think Tim Curry, him, he has done some great, great comic roles. And then he turns around, he's the first Pennywise, which was amazing at that. He was on Earth 1 or Earth 2, a Steven Spielberg series. He was an amazing bad guy in that.
Oh, I remember that. He was always calling that little girl dear puppet, sweet puppet, dear puppet. Oh, my gosh, it made chill go up and down your spine. It really did.
He also played a very demonic character, and I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. He had this huge
Legend.
Set of horns. Legend. That's
Legend.
It. He had those huge...
Legend with Tom Cruise and Mia Sira. Wonderful,
yeah.
Incredible costuming and makeup.
Yes.
Incredible.
He looked quite demonic and devilish in that in Legend, but
yeah.
We got a demonic sort of story, kind of.
Well, in a way, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the typewriter tale, The Frontiers of Fear.
Yes. Don't want to give away too much. Don't want to give away too much. We can let the story do that, but yeah. No spoil alerts here yet. That's for sure.
Nah, you're sticking around for the whole hour and a half. You got to stick around until
it's
our time. So
that's right.
Let us begin, I guess, with part one of our offering tonight. And it's from?
Episode number 132 from August 12th of 1974.
CBS Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time is 7 minutes. Past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents
Kixi.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the universe of the uncanny, to the land from which no traveler returns, alive or sane. It can be reached so many ways, down trails of terror, along paths of peril, or, strangely enough, through bustling city streets. There are no markers that tell you when you cross the frontier of fear, but once you do, there is no mistaking the horror that lies ahead.
I suppose I should be frightened by your cheap tricks, whatever you are. But I'm not. I'm going now. And I warn you, you will regret it.
Well, she's gone, Harry. For good. Gladys will never trouble us again.
What happened? What did you do to her?
Can't you guess, Harry? We eliminated her. We typed her into an early grave.
You didn't have to go that far. I could have handled her.
I couldn't take the chance, Harry. You forced my hand. You divulged our little secret. And I'm not quite ready for that yet.
Mystery drama, The Frontier of Fear, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by Milt Wisoff and stars Jerry Stiller. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you feel like having a cold Budweiser, do you automatically reach for a glass? Well, sure, Bud's a great beer any way you drink it. But without a glass, you're really missing something. Now take that wonderful Budweiser head of foam, for instance. Those bubbles, tiny though they are, still amount to something pretty special at the top of your glass. Taste appeal. An eye appeal. Two results of exclusive beechwood aging and natural carbonation. It takes a lot longer to brew Budweiser that way. But brewing beer right does make a difference that you can taste. That's why when you say Budweiser, you've really said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Thank you.
nights to find terror in a haunted house or on the barren, windswept plains of the Aztec pyramids. But it is even more intense when it is encountered on the streets of a modern metropolis. In our little tale, Harry Dorn meets the unfathomable as he crosses the threshold of a pawn shop. But why not let Harry describe his frightening journey in his own words?
Listen to me, please. Whoever finds this tape, hear me through, or it's curtains. Not for me. I'm a dead duck, no matter what happens. But for you, and for everyone else in the whole world. I know you think this is a gag, but it's not. You gotta believe me. I never prayed before, but I do now. I'm Harry Dorn. Nobody. Small-time con man, losing horse player, dead-end Dorn. That's how I think of myself. My life was a series of ups and downs, mostly downs. But never as down as the day I walked into Flint's pawn shop. That's a good name for him. His heart is made of it.
Morning. What can I do for you? Oh, it's you, Harry.
Don't get all choked up, Flint. This is no touch.
And what have you got in your mind?
I don't know. Just dropped in. What do you give me for this?
Tell me what it is first.
You really don't know? How about that? These are the silks our Caro rode when he won the Derby on Citation.
So what?
So it's history.
Only the creeps like you, sorry, no sale.
Take it for only $25. It's worth a lot more.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Pick out anything in that corner, anything. And I'll trade you even. That way nobody loses.
But I need eating money, Flint.
Take it or leave it.
I was going to leave when I heard this voice inside my head. Like someone jamming the circuits in my brain. Take the typewriter, Harry. Take the typewriter. Went on and on in my head, over and over. I was powerless. Take that typewriter laying there with all that junk. I made the swap and I walked off with the typewriter. When I got home, I couldn't stand looking at it. It was an absolute piece of junk that couldn't possibly work. Dirty, old, and useless. I kept staring at it, trying to turn it into a steak with all the trimmings. And that's when it happened. I found myself putting in a piece of paper and I began pecking at the keys. Somehow, the typewriter took over. I didn't know how or why, but there I was, typing away. Something, someone was making my fingers move, making me type out words, sentences. It was weird. I couldn't stop myself. Pretty soon, I was banging away like I knew what I was doing. I looked at what I had typed, and I couldn't believe it. A bunch of dopey poems. I was going to throw them away when the voice I heard at the pawn shop took over again. It planted an idea in my mind. Maybe what I had written was worth something. So I trotted the poems down to a song plugger I know, and he said I was in the wrong place. Take it to Gladys Morgan, a literary agent, he says. Maybe she might dig it. And she did.
Mr. Dorn, I'm so delighted you could come. Oh, please have a seat. Now, I've got good news for you. Your book of poems is most enchanting.
I'm glad you liked it. How much...
Now, I know you'll be happy to hear that Merton Brothers will publish your poems.
The money. How much do I get and when?
Oh, you poets are so impetuous and so direct. Well, I've got a small advance for you. Here.
$100? Is that all?
That's the best I could get. You know, poetry is a modest market, but there will be more when the book is published and reviewed.
$100? I was hoping I'd hit the jackpot.
Keep on writing, Harry, and you may.
$100 didn't last long. I paid the rent, had my steak, and I played a few hunches. I stayed away from the typewriter, but when I blew my last fiver, I sat down and started to type again. Who knows, I thought. Maybe lightning could strike twice. It wasn't long before the mysterious voice took charge. I typed for days without any rest. I blacked out, and when I came to, there was a pile of pages stacked neatly next to the typewriter. It was a short story, A murder mystery. I read a little bit of it, but it turned my stomach. Too bloody. But I sent it off to Gladys anyhow. I didn't have anything to lose. Guess what? Another sale. And the bread came in like manna from heaven. I was sitting on top of the world until I got a visit. Who's there?
Hurry.
What do you want?
You Harry Dorn?
That's right.
Did you write this story?
Death on a side street. Sure I did. Anyone says I didn't is a cockeyed liar.
How did you tumble on it?
I dreamt it up. All of it. Right out of my head.
Did you read this morning's paper?
Not yet. Why?
Take a peek at the headline.
Gang chief slain. So what? It happens all the time.
Read the story. See if it sounds familiar. You had the guy killed in your story by a mortar shell, right?
It's a little weird, but you got to have a gimmick today to sell your stuff.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, read the item in the paper. There. See how Esposito was wiped out.
A mortar shell?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? I didn't think those bums could read.
So you're claiming they copied it from your novel, huh?
Well, what else could it be?
And we'll find out, Mr. Dorn. We'll find out at headquarters, one way or another.
They dragged me down and worked me over for a couple hours, but they couldn't hold me. The lawyer Gladys hired had me sprung. I was pretty well shaken by the time I got home. I sacked out for about 24 hours, and then I went back to my usual routine. It didn't take long before I was in my usual condition, tapped out. My investments betrayed me, 6 straight losers on the NFL cards, and 2 days of dogs at Belmont. I had to get back to that infernal machine, the typewriter. This time I tried to do my own thing. I tried writing about an actual incident out of my own life, but it came out garbage. Even I could recognize it was trash. I crumpled sheet after sheet of paper. That's when I heard the voice for the first time. Right out of the guts of the typewriter. Really heard it right outside my own head.
Get up, Dorn. Look at you. You're a miserable sight.
Can't be. I'm just hearing things. Typewriter that talks. I must be going off my rocker.
No, you're not. I exist, and what I say is real.
Who are you? What are you?
To start with, I am not a typewriter. I control it like I control you. You're both equally primitive mechanisms.
Look, pal, I don't have to take that from you.
No. Who were you kidding? I'm the best thing that ever happened to you. You were a petty chiseler when I found you.
You found me?
Of course, you fool. You didn't have any choice in the matter.
What do I call you?
It doesn't matter. In my world, I'm known as... What is your equivalent? Gan...
All right, Mr. Gann. Clue me in, will you? Just a little.
Well, I can do things. I can read what you call the future. Or I can make things happen.
Either way, I don't like it.
Put your fingers on the keys.
This time the story was kind of science fiction. Crazy, weird. Then the ending really got to me. A tidal wave that sweeps across the ocean and wipes out an island in the Pacific, killing every living thing. I wanted to throw the damn thing into the garbage can, but I was flat. So I paddled it, and sure enough, it came to pass.
This is your 6 o'clock news. A spectacular tidal wave inundated the tiny island of Kunjera in the Pacific Ocean, killing more than 100,000 people.
All those lives washed away because I had a gambling habit. I felt guilty as hell, and I made up my mind to get rid of the typewriter. And Mr. Gann.
What do you think you're doing, Harry?
I'm getting rid of you, once and for all. I can't go on helping you slaughter people. I got a conscience, man.
What's that?
You really don't know, do you?
Why should I? I'm not human, you know. What is this conscience?
It's hard to explain. Let me see. You know, there's a good and a bad. Like, you don't squeal, or Welsh on a bet, or put down a friend. Well, the worst thing you can do is to kill somebody. That's when you feel rotten. That's your conscience working.
But you people take life all the time. You eat other organisms.
That's different. I'm talking about human life.
And you keep slaughtering each other day after day.
We get punished for that.
Not all the time.
I could see I was getting nowhere with Mr. Gunn. I was in the grip of a force way beyond me. I started to type again. Don't ask me why, I couldn't help myself. Suddenly, I heard this rapping at the door. I kept quiet, hoping whoever it was would go away. But they didn't. I could hear the plastic card slipped in between the door and the lock. And then the door swung open.
Hello, Harry. You didn't answer, so I tried the door and it was open.
You mean you jimmied it open, Pete? That wasn't nice.
It's not nice to keep your friends waiting, especially friends who have been so patient with you.
If it's the money I owe.
That's exactly what it is, money. When are you going to get the scratch up?
I'm expecting it any minute. I'll drop it by in the morning.
No way. The boss wants the bread now.
Just hang on for a minute, will you? I want to finish something I was typing.
I ain't got much time. Hey, what's that you're writing? Your farewell address?
No, it says the door opens and a messenger delivers a package containing $500.
Yeah, and I'm Cinderella.
How do you like that, pal? Hey, stop it, will you? Just a few more minutes.
Rabbit messenger. Here.
Thanks.
I'll take that. Here's something for you, kid. Well, I'll be 500, all right. I'll take what you owe, Harry. So long, pal, and thanks for saving both of us a lot of trouble. That was close, Harry.
Too darn close. Why did you wait so long?
To teach you a lesson. One you must never forget.
Okay. You made your point.
Good. We've got our most important work ahead. Until now, I've just been feeling my way to make sure I had everything down pat. Now I've got complete control over you.
That comes to Harry through the ether, or is it inside his head, has displayed its awesome powers, powers that can reach across time and space, can make or unmake events. But for what purpose? We'll learn more when we return shortly with Act Two.
I hear this sort of thing happens to Stephen King all the time.
makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did read that Quentin Tarantino still uses pen and paper to hash out his ideas. He's an old-fashioned sort of chap that way.
Wow.
He can write with his feet, too, I think.
Meow. That's a hateful eight sort of thing to say.
Yes.
In regards to, I guess, the voice of a typewriter, Dave, is that Bryn or Brenna Rayburn? I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name.
Bryn Rayburn? I'm not sure if that's Bryna. I know the part of the agent lady, that is Bryna. She's the only actually female listed in the cast. The cast they have is Jerry Stiller, Paul Tripp, Robert Caliban, and Bryna Rayburn. Now, I'm not sure.
Caliban?
Robert Caliban, yeah.
Oh, Caliban.
Caliban.
It's different.
But she does do different voices. That almost sounds like it's a guy's voice, though. Kind of made to almost sound female-y. So,
it's a very husky voice, to be sure.
Really? That's kind of sound like Dave.
Wow.
And Dave, without getting that award, I tried to sound like you, but I'm sorry. What was that? Did these lines get crossed? What's wrong with that satellite phone? Someone just clicked in there.
Something's going on. I don't know. I haven't figured that out.
Yeah, really. But anyway, Ms. Rayburn, unless Internet Movie Database and a few other websites, is still around at a youthful 106.
Wow. Wow.
That's beyond wow.
You know, video clip that I had posted, she was in they kind of did a sort of a shortened piece with Mason Adams and Bryna Rayburn, and when they kind of performed it on the Tomorrow Show, Tom Snyder Show, she was in on that. Also, she was in the 50s, she did some television. She did with Jackie Gleason and Art Carney. They did an episode of one of those live shows where it was really a drama. It wasn't a comedy. I think it was still called The Funny Man, but it was about kind of about Jackie Gleason and his life, where he actually acted more like the Jerry Lewis we were talking about earlier.
Most definitely. Continue. Sorry.
She played Jackie Gleason's sister in that particular television show.
Wow. Interesting.
But she also did, suspenses and some other things earlier as well.
Yeah, she's a Jersey girl from Jersey City, New Jersey, and she is also known as Josephine the 15th, and I'm happy they took you away, haha. That's her.
I'll be damned.
Really?
I just put the link in the chat room.
Wow.
Yeah, and she is alive. I went to about four different websites, and no one's saying deceased. So she is 106 and loving every second of it.
What's left of it. But, that's odd. So awful. So mean. I'm so sorry.
I'm trying to
somehow
look
you're listening. Don't pay any attention to him, please, right now.
The smart people ignore me.
I was just kind of looking for her here, and this, I don't see it. Rayburn, Jean, Bryna, Edna. No, I don't. I'll have to get that for the next break.
And don't confuse her with Jean Rayburn, because that's, yeah.
No.
Yeah, the search engine did kind of do that.
A little different there. Yeah.
But she seems to be a lady of a multitude of voices.
And let's hear more of them with part two of The Frontier of Fear from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems?
Hey, honey, this looks like a good deal. No payment for 3 months on easy credit terms.
But, dear, do you think we can meet the payments?
She's right, you know. Shop for credit as carefully as you shop for products.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau.
And before you decide to buy anything on time, ask yourself if you can make the payments out of your regular income. How far is your credit extended now? Have you any credit or cash reserve to cover an unexpected illness or a loss of your job?
Gee, maybe I'd better think it over. Thanks for your advice.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Of computers, we're accustomed to machines that can work wonders. Have you ever thought of the day when we'll come up with a machine that can go far beyond the capabilities of the computer, one that can instead reverse the process and program man for, well, let's find out what Mr. Gahn intends for Harry Dorn.
The next few weeks were kind of peaceful, like Mr. Gahn was going through a phase. He seemed to be preparing for some big event. He had me lug in all kinds of books from the library, and I kept typing this stuff, word for word. He had me copying the Department of Defense budget, line for line. I darn near wore out my fingers. After I'd been at it for about 10 straight hours, I felt I'd had it right up to here. I stopped typing and I started rubbing my fingers to restore the circulation.
I haven't told you to stop.
Look, pal, my fingers are numb, my nerves are frazzled, and I'm just plain pooped. I need rest.
Whatever for?
I guess you don't understand that, do you?
Oh, well, if you must. But don't shut your eyes too long.
Hold it.
Why?
Somebody knocks at your door at 1 a.m. You wait for them to go away. I'll bet it's them goons.
Why should they pay you a visit? You've cleared your obligation to them. Thanks to me.
It's Gladys, Harry. Please open the door. I know it's late, but I must talk to you.
Okay. Just a minute.
Oh, thank you. Now, why haven't I heard from you, Harry?
I didn't have anything to say.
I just wanted to know why you...
Why I what?
Why you've decided to leave me for another agent.
But that's crazy. I never...
Oh, don't play with me, Harry. I got your note.
What are you talking about? What note?
Oh, here. Read for yourself.
But I never wrote it. Oh, I get it. It's your doing, Mr. Gunn. You had me write it, and I sent it without reading it.
Who are you talking to? Oh, poor Harry. You've been working too hard.
It's not me. It's that typewriter.
Hmm?
Gladys, I'm going to show you something that'll knock your hat off. You think I wrote them poems and all that other junk?
I believe anything you say.
Sure. Well, the truth is that the typewriter, or rather... Mr. Gahn does all the brain work. Watch. Come closer, Gladys. Just watch what comes out.
In the early hours of the morning, the city was asleep. Darkness blotted out the pressures and the torment of the day.
Pretty classy. I never had any education, Gladys. I just sit there and punch the keys under his direction.
It is true, Miss Morgan.
Oh, what?
This lame brain would be hard put to write simple declarative sentences by himself, let alone this magnificent output.
Who are you? What kind of trick is this?
No trick, my dear. What Harry told you is absolutely correct. Oh, it's too bad, however. Too bad he insisted on telling you.
What are you talking about?
Type, Harry. Type until I tell you to stop.
I typed for a few minutes, and then...
That's enough, Harry. Now read this, Miss Morgan.
I will not. You may have him under your control, but not me. Goodbye, Harry.
Gladys Morgan turned to go. She was distraught, but she would have been terrified if she only knew.
Don't go, Gladys. Don't leave now.
If she only knew what fate awaited her on the other side of the door. Well, she's gone, Harry. Gone for good. Gladys will never trouble us again.
What did you do to her?
Can't you guess, Harry? We typed her into an early grave.
Why did you have to do that?
You forced my hand, Harry. You divulged our little secret. And I'm not quite ready for that yet.
I fell asleep that morning just as the lights started to come up. I was exhausted. And when I awoke, I poked my head out of the door carefully, not knowing what I'd see. But the scene was the same as usual. The morning paper was waiting. No one had swiped it, even though it was late.
It's not in there.
What's not in there? How do you know what I'm looking for?
If you want to know what happened to Gladys, just ask.
Maybe I don't want to know. Maybe last night never happened.
Is that you, Gladys?
It's the police, John. Open up.
Were you expecting Gladys Morgan? Why not? She's my agent. When did you see her last? I don't know. Why? Is it important?
Very important. We found her. Dead.
Dead? How did it happen?
I thought you might know.
Me? How would I know? I haven't seen her for days.
Okay, Dawn, get your clothes on.
All right. I did see her last night, but only for a few minutes. She was okay when she walked out of that door.
I think you better come along with me anyhow.
Okay. I heard her scream after she left, but when I went out to see her, she was gone.
Type, Harry. Type.
What was that? Who you got here? Nobody. I was just thinking out loud. Can I use the typewriter for a moment? I just got to put one thought down before I forget it.
Okay, but hurry it up.
The moment was tense, fraught with danger. Then suddenly the phone rang, cutting through the tension like a stiletto. It was news about the corpse. News that established beyond a doubt his innocence. Hello? Who? Yeah, he's here. It's for you, Lieutenant.
Yeah. Okay. Hello. Mm-hmm. You sure? A full confession? I gave the statement voluntarily, huh? Okay, I'll be down in about 15 minutes. I want to talk to him myself.
Bad news, Lieutenant?
Not for you. We got a lead on a suspect. Mrs. Morgan's ex-husband. He had motive and opportunity. A cab driver drove him near where we found her body.
Then I'm in the clear.
So far. But don't try to leave the city until I give you the word. Understand?
I wouldn't think of it, Lieutenant.
Now say thank you, Harry.
Thanks for nothing. You got me into that mess. You owed it to me.
I owe you nothing, Harry. Remember that at all times.
Well, at least the law's off my back.
You seem relieved.
Sure, I'm relieved. I'm not in a pokey.
You feel relieved, even though you know someone else will suffer for a crime he didn't commit.
But I didn't do it either.
Of course you didn't. But your information could clear him. What about your precious conscience?
I don't want to get mixed up in murder.
You mean if he takes the rap, as you would put it, then you're free and clear? Isn't that true?
How did I ever get into this fix? Why did I ever walk into that stupid pawn shop?
It wasn't a free choice, Harry. I picked you.
For what? I asked you that before. What are you going to do with all that information that I've been typing?
I've already told you, Harry. You will be the first to know when the time comes.
Hit me while I was typing this encyclopedia for Mr. Gann. Sure, he had me. But in a way, I had him too. Somehow, he still needed my muscle power to move the keys. I couldn't figure out why he couldn't do it for himself, since he could do so many other things. But the fact remained, Mr. Gann had no way of moving the keys without me.
Quite commendable, Harry. You do have some low cunning.
How did you know what I was thinking?
I'm in your mind all the time. What is this great inspiration you've had?
You ought to know. You... Oh, my head! It aches!
I'm waiting, Harry.
I want you to help me get back at some of the rats who put me down.
Is that all? Look, Harry. I am not a genie caught in a bottle, waiting to do your bidding.
Okay, then I go on strike. No help, no typing.
Nonsense. Well, tell me what you want. Only let's not waste too much time. We have much to do.
Okay, I want the bookie hit big. I want him wiped out.
That's it?
To start with. The other two little favors depend on how this works out.
All right. Start typing.
I put a fresh sheet of paper in the machine and hit the keys. I didn't even bother reading it. All I could see was Pete and his boss going down the chute.
You can stop now, Harry.
When will it happen?
Go down and buy a late paper.
You mean now? That quick? Okay.
Turn to page 37, Harry. Column 2.
Bookie found slain. Dead. Who asked you to?
You did.
I just wanted them cleaned out, not killed.
I just set it in motion. Natural law took over after that. Let's not waste any more time. What are your other two favors?
I don't know if I still want them. Not if they end this way.
They don't have to. Tell me what you want, or back to the typewriter.
Don't rush me. Let me think. Okay, here they are. I want my old man to retire. He's worked hard all his life, and I'd like to see him stop. His pension doesn't start for 3 years more. Make it due now.
And the other favor?
My sister. She's had it pretty tough. She and her husband are just making it. It's hard on the kids. I want her to come in to some bread. Enough to make life easier for them.
Done and done. Just hit the typewriter, Harry.
All the time I was typing, I felt myself pulling back, trying to make my fingers stop. Somehow, some way, I knew what I was doing was wrong. Hello? Yeah, it's me. What's that? No. No, I can't believe it. A heart attack? How did it happen? Well, how's he doing now? I see. He'll pull through, but he'll never be able to work again? Yeah, I'll meet you at the hospital in about 15 minutes. Goodbye. You murderer! You can't do anything good if you try! Why did you have to do that to my father?
I just set the wheels in motion, Harry. I don't steer the vehicle.
Call off the other favor. I don't want your help anymore for anything.
It's too late, Harry. Read what you've typed.
On the way home from work, George Masters was mugged in a subway passageway. He died of wounds received in the struggle. You swine, you...
His wife was the sole beneficiary of a $100,000 life insurance policy. There you are, Harry, all taken care of. Now back to the typewriter, or I'll be forced to take care of you.
Men have been slaves of many base emotions. Greed, lust, power. But few have ever been in such complete thraldom to a machine. Harry Dorn's weakness and cowardice, his instinct to survive above all other considerations, has in a sense permitted this malignant force to draw him deeper and deeper into servitude. Where will it all end? We'll know when we return shortly with Act Three.
Ranger and Tonto are camped in the woods just outside of town when suddenly the great horse Silver rears and...
He's coming.
Yes, Tonto. Silver senses trouble. Come on.
Quickly, the masked rider of the plains and his faithful Indian companion head into the thick underbrush.
Smell smoke, Kimatami. Over there, Tonto. Hurry.
Suddenly, they come upon a clearing, and there, just inches from the hanging branches of a giant tree, a smoldering campfire.
Quick, Tonto. Grab that empty bucket.
As Tonto hurries to a nearby stream, the Lone Ranger stirs the fire until the embers cool. Then Tonto returns and drowns the fire twice.
Good work, Tonto. But what about men who start fire?
Well, Tonto, they have a choice. Either they'll put an end to careless fires, or they'll put an end to the forest. Let's go.
Public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
Lone Ranger's been making his circuit for me lately. Just watched an episode of Lassie that was a crossover with the Lone Ranger. Some strange reason I've been watching episodes of Lassie.
They seem so real. Hey, interesting. That's funny. I go to all these websites because I was trying to find some things out about Bryna Rayburn, and there's only one that lists her as dead, and that's the CBS Radio Mystery Theater one, and says she died at the age of 71 in 1986, but every other website does not list that.
That's the only one I found that said that she had passed away, but every other one says alive, you know, just gives her date of birth. Nothing else is confirming that she passed away.
Right. Let me list one of each because many of these she did more than one of. These are some of the radio that Bryna Rayburn was on, starting in 1944, By the People, Mysterious Traveler, Words at War, Crime Club, The Eternal Light, Roger Kilgore, Public Defender, Cavalcade of America. Go down to Radio City Playhouse, Citizen of the World, Henry Morgan Show, Eternal Light. Here's one, Dimension X with Folded Hands, one of your favorite stories, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
John Steele Adventurer, 2000 Plus, Top Secret, Shandu the Magician, Cloak and Dagger, High Adventure, The Chase, Best Plays, Crime and Peter Chambers, Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator, Official Detective, Gangbusters, Exploring Tomorrow, Suspense, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Looks like at least a couple dozen theater fives. As far as the mystery theater goes, she did actually 216 episodes of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
I'll be darned.
Holy cow. No way.
And many of those big shows that I said were multiple episodes of many of those shows. So, and of course, those are only shows that there are recordings of. There probably were tons of other shows that have disappeared throughout time that she was also in as well.
And she's only 106?
And she's only 106, yeah.
Yeah. Just a budding young talent.
Yes. Yes, the bloom of youth still on her cheeks. Oh, yeah. Just goes to show old-time radio keeps you young.
There you go.
That's right.
There
we should promote that fact.
the elixir.
If that worked, I'd still be 14 years old. I don't think it works that way.
Well, I still act it, so there's that.
Well, there's that.
So the theory's still not shot down fully. I mean.
Well, that's true. Not fully, yes.
Well, you still have the Bobby Brady syndrome, Dave. We wouldn't be able to understand every other word, but between the high and the low, and the left and the right.
Changes? Are you talking about changes? Oh, oh my.
Changes.
Yeah, so that could be that too, but Bobby Brady always wanted to be a race car driver too, so you know, I don't know. That's too much work.
But I'm loving this typewriter. I mean, this is possessed, obviously, by some sort of malevolent entity, whereas what we have now are laptops, our netbooks, notebooks, desktops, smart
which
devices.
Is another malignant entity.
Yes,
yeah.
AI on the horizon, soon to take over everything. I mean,
they,
seriously.
They already have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When the Twitter dies, people go into withdrawal. No.
It's kind of fun to watch. The meltdown is fun.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And we got more fun radio, haven't we?
Well, we do. We still have another act of the Mystery Theater to go yet.
Yes, we do. And
before we get to a piece
fun.
Of history. Yes.
Oh, and saying hello to Fogsbane in the chat room. Hello, Fogs.
Hey, Fogs.
Here he is again. Loyal and wonderful. Thanks for, gosh, Fogs, you've done so much cool stuff for us. The things you've made and sent us, those radios, those cutouts of our caricatures from Bradley Beard. All this cool stuff. One of my favorites is just a piece of art, the toaster with Erie House burned onto the toast. I love it. Now I want a toaster that does it. Now I want a toaster that does that.
Yeah, I suppose you could make it, but
yeah, I would set the house on fire if I tried to make that. I'm not going to do it.
Well, do what Gar does. You know, Gar has his toaster underneath his smoke detector. Whenever I'm talking to him on the phone and his smoke detector is on, I said, Gar, your toast is done. And he says, yes, it is. And he goes and gets his toast.
Good
you
God.
Know, instead of moving the smoke detector, that's how he knows his toast is done.
I'm just not surprised. I don't.
Okay.
You know, if you get distracted, you forget you're making toast. What better way could there be to let you know the toast is ready?
Okay, that sounds like a college student dorm thing, so I should be the one doing that, not him, but okay.
Oh, such fun. What fun.
Yep.
Having the dorm on fire.
But in the meantime, let's get back to that insidious, that malevolent, maniacal machination that are known as a typewriter.
That's right. From Frontier of Fears, CBS.
What
are
you talking about?
Mystery Theater.
Man is such an imperfect vessel. He can sell or destroy anything he holds dear. His dreams, his love, his country, even his soul. But all of us have at least a grain of nobility in us. One small flame that can, when called upon, illuminate the corner of the world we live in. Even so base and useless a man as Harry Dorn cannot extinguish this frail light.
I was getting in deeper and deeper. I was losing almost all control over myself, my actions. The worst of it was that I didn't know what Mr. Gunn was up to, but I knew somehow it would end in disaster.
I think I've indulged you long enough. Sit down and start typing.
Why should I?
Because I ordered you to do so.
Who cares about your... Oh, my head!
Sit down, Harry.
I can't. My head aches. How about that? It's gone. I feel great. Say, did you do that?
Of course. Now, will you sit down? I can reward or punish you. That's the free choice you have. Type or suffer.
What would you do? Take the carrot instead of the stick? Well, that's what I did, too. So, I started to type. And this time, it was for keeps. No poems or novels, but some kind of crazy technical thing. Pages and pages and pages. I worked day and night, hardly stopping for food or rest. I kept at it until I blacked out. And when I awoke, I was sitting at the table, my head on the typewriter.
It's about time you woke up. You certainly are a strange mechanism. You suffer things like fatigue, hunger.
Every machine needs rest, lubrication. I need something to eat and a beer.
All right. But get back as soon as you can.
Sure. But what do I use for dough? Money. I need it to buy things. Type me a few winners.
Type you what?
A few winners. Give me the results of today's races now. Now bet them. That will give me the money I need.
Okay. Sit down.
I typed the results of the fifth and sixth races at Aqueduct. Blood money, 5-1. And fate, 8-1.
You win again, Harry. Fate, 17-2. Not bad. Who tipped you?
I can't divulge my source, but just remember, this is only the beginning.
Sure, Harry, sure. I dig here.
I'll be back tomorrow for more action.
Anytime, kid. You're hot. And you know what they say. When you're hot, you're hot. Go for broke.
Not this time. I got it all psyched out. A new system that can't miss.
Yeah, and I'm going to be Miss America this year.
Wait and see, wise guy. Wait and see.
It's about time you got back.
What am I supposed to do, punch a time clock? Count your blessings. I came back at all.
Oh, I wasn't worried about that for a moment. Now, shall we do a little work?
Why not? You give a little, I give a little.
Start typing, Harry.
I typed through the night. By the time the sun started to come through, I had piled up a ton of paper. It's a lucky thing the pages were numbered. Otherwise, I'd never know how to put it all together.
We are not through yet, Harry.
We are for now. I need a little shut-eye, and then I'll be set again.
Oh, very well. But don't take too long.
Don't worry. I'll set the alarm to make sure.
I'm happy you decided to cooperate.
What is this stuff I'm typing? Sounds screwy. Disintegrator and assembly unit. Interspatial disturber unit. Sounds like some kind of invention.
You could describe it that way.
Who cares? Oh, before I forget, type me out the winners for tomorrow. I mean today. I'm going to show them what Harry Dorn is made out of.
I shouldn't think you'd want to do that.
Mr. Gunn, you here?
Yes, Harry's still here.
Guess what? The card, we swept it. Daily double, 4 exactas and a triple. I had to move around to several bookies before the day was over. They couldn't handle it all.
Did you get it?
Not all of it. They're going to deliver the rest in a few days. I'm riding high. Next day, I was even feeling kindly to Mr. Gunn. I got to the table early and typed away all day. I figured I could skip the races for a few days until Pete paid me off. I was ready to fall apart when Mr. Gunn threw in the sponge.
That's it, Harry.
Don't tell me you're tired.
Certainly not. I don't even know what the concept means. It's just that this phase of the operation is over.
Great. Now I can ball it up. Is there anything else I can do for you before I hit the town?
As a matter of fact, there is. Just type up a few labels.
Sure. The least I can do.
Then assemble the copies of the manuscript and mail them out.
Consider it done. Now, let me have the label copy. USSR, People's Republic of China, France, UAR. What the hell is this all about? Agents in all those countries?
Yes, Harry. Agents of destruction.
What are you talking about?
I told you you'd be the first one to know.
Know what?
Do you remember all the reference material you typed?
How can I forget?
That was for evaluation purposes.
I don't get it.
We were evaluating whether your species should continue or whether you represented a menace to the galaxy.
And how do we make out?
Badly. The decision was to eliminate you.
You can't do that.
We're not going to do that. You are going to do that yourselves. You see, the manuscript you typed is a scientific textbook for weapons beyond your small scientific store of knowledge. Each one has the capacity to destroy every living thing on this planet. By distributing it to nations on every continent, we will hasten your demise.
But suppose they decide that the weapons are too heavy to use. You might be leading us to permanent peace.
That's possible, but hardly likely. Either way, we win. If you can make peace among yourselves, then we will win anyhow.
It's all a pipe dream. I just won't mail them.
I am prepared for that reaction, too. I'll just have to write you off, Harry. I've got more than one string to my bow, thanks to you. Wait and see what happens.
Who's there?
It's me, Harry. I got the money you won.
Come in, Pete. It's about time. I've been waiting for the dough. Give it to me.
Here it is, kid. Three big ones. So long, Harry. I hated to do that, but it was you or me, and I like me better.
You haven't won yet, Mr. Gunn?
Who are you talking to?
Get out now, Pete. While you can.
Please pay attention.
What's going on? Who is that? I'm getting out of here.
There is $1,000 underneath the envelopes on the end table. Mail the envelopes and the money is yours.
What?
There will be another $1,000 waiting for you when you return with the postal receipts.
A grand? Just for lugging these to the post office? Sounds screwy, but hey... The dough is real enough. Hey, this ain't no gag. What am I doing? Talking to the air? Well, if there's anybody here, just get the other 1,000 ready. Yeah, I'll be back. What have I got to lose?
Harry Dorn gave his life in what was perhaps the first unselfish action of his miserable existence. And it seems for naught. But then again, perhaps not.
Just as Mr. Gann underestimated Harry's greed, he may also have miscalculated the corruption of the world's leaders. They may set Mr. Gann's sinister plans back indefinitely. At least we hope so. I'll be back shortly.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility.
Writes good books, too.
Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The director of vocational rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the director of vocational rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
We close our tale of terror. The path that took Harry Dorn across the frontier of fear was a costly one for him. He paid for his moment of greed with his life. But in the final analysis, Harry was only a straw in the wind. His entrances and exits are over. But what of us, the human race? Our cast included Jerry Stiller, Paul Tripp, Rainer Rayburn, and Bob Caliban. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
It's a matter of life and death.
Life and death? Whose?
Yours, I'm afraid.
Come in, Miss Patterson.
Yes, my credentials.
New York City Police.
Mrs. Stoddard, what I'm about to tell you is going to shock you. But please keep in mind that at the moment, at least, you're in no danger.
Danger? At the moment? What are you talking about?
Let me explain. About an hour ago, the body of a young woman, a bride, was found in her home in Shaker Heights.
I just heard the bulletin on the radio.
Did you?
What has that murder got to do with me?
She
Shaker
was
Heights?
Murdered by your husband.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The time is 11 p.m.
No, it's not. It's only 7:39 Eastern. Here on Three House Radio.
Daylight savings time in some parts of the world.
That's true.
I don't know what it's saving.
Have we a moral for this terror tale?
We have.
There's no escape. Eerie House Radio. proudly presents A Garrulous Moral of the Story.
With apologies to Gar, whenever out in the wild or in a pawn shop, remember, don't feed the typewriter. That's it.
I just love this stupid song. I really do. Just says so much.
Come up with those words.
I don't know. They've been up all night writing them.
Wow.
This is like that's early
like
punk.
Brain power.
I would call
the
this early
power.
Punk.
Just makes you, you know, shake your head.
Gotta hear the beat.
Gotta.
That's not the music we. That's not the music we want. We're still not done with our typewriter weekend here.
No, we have, whoops, wrong thing.
And so, from the dawn of time, we bring you a hug.
Yes, indeed. It is common knowledge that the typewriter was first patented in 1714 by English inventor Henry Mill. There was never a working version of this typewriter. What history does not let us know is that there was a working typewriter apparatus made nearly a million years before that by the world's most prolific inventor, Ugh, the caveman. Now, I know you're asking yourself how Ugg could invent a typewriter when there was no written language, and the Chinese hadn't invented paper. Well, it wouldn't do it for at least another 30,000 years. But if the definition of a typewriter is about impressing characters onto a paper or a paper-like device, then Ugg does qualify as an inventor. See, back in caveman days, the only way to make path signs was to put berry stains on a piece of bark to explain where the path led to. Now, there were two problems with the system. First, although berry stain preserved well inside of cave walls, it didn't preserve so well outside the elements. One good storm could make the berry stain run and become unreadable. The second was that many times, instead of reading the sign, they would smell the berry stain and try to eat the bark, which would make them very sick, proving once again that the bark was worse than the bite. Anyway, creating the bark sign would take a very long time, so Ugg started to devise a way to strike a rock with great force onto a bark sheet by laying the rock onto the bark and jumping onto the rock to make the impression on the bark. Well, this worked pretty well, as we know, except Ugg, he was an inventor, not an artist, and no one could tell what his sign was saying. But without berry stain, they were at least not eating the bark and making themselves sick, so that problem was fixed. To fix the part of not being able to read the signs, it was remedied when Ugg visited the tribe stone chiseler, QWERTY, who agreed to chisel out several different symbols onto the stones for the price of 5 sparking stones each. Now, one was the picture of a saber-toothed tiger, which meant it was a dangerous path ahead. One was of a giant bird, which meant it was a messy path ahead. One was some berries, which meant there was some food ahead. And yet another had one of a woolly mammoth lying on his back, which meant there was something blocking the path ahead. And this was the very first detour sign. Now, there were many more, but because they were lost in time, we do not know what they were. Now, once Ugg received the carvings after coughing up the sparking stones, he would attach a stone to a long pole so he could easily drag the correct carving to the bark and jump on it to make the path sign. It was quite lucrative business, and he earned his sparking stones back many, many times over. But the honor of being remembered as the inventor of the typewriter would never be his. But in a cut of unfairness, the stone chiseler, QWERTY, would always be remembered for his contribution, as it was his name that would become the first 6 letters typewriter keys on the board for ages to come. There you go.
More facts from the dawn of time. Very tribal. I like it.
Very poor Ugg. Poor Ugg.
I can only think of
this.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just got a message from the irreputable, infamous Moose and Elk law firm that they've taken up the mantle for Ugg and are going to be laying down a lawsuit against Ugg Boots. Ugg said Ugg
okay.
had first.
Well, knowing that Elk and Moose have never won a lawsuit, I don't think he's got much help coming with that, but we'll see. We shall see. There's always a first time.
Yes.
Indeed.
That music for Ugg is very tribal. I can only think of one thing that's
very...
even more tribal. Oh, sorry. I can't stop. We got time yet. Before Gar time, which is in exactly 14 minutes or so. Exactly or so. Anyway, Horrible Horrors starring Gar the Ghoul right after we're done with the live portion of our show tonight. And
a Twitch TV thing. Yep.
Yep. Then there are Twitches. And I don't know. Do we want to do a wheel or do we want to do a song? Ladies' choice. What do you think, CW?
Well, let's see. I say I'm going to run up to the podium. I've got my birch nickel, and I say I'm going to put it into the jukebox. That's
birch nickel. Okay. Here we go. Where did you get a nickel anyway?
As long as you're not in love with anyone else, why don't you fall in love with me? You're driving me crazy, baby, trying to guess. Will you tell me no or will you tell me yes? You gotta go overboard for someone someday. Believe it or not, it's bound to be. As long as you're not in love with anyone else, why don't you fall in love with me? Crazy baby, trying to guess. Will you tell me no, or will the answer be yes? You gotta go overboard for someone someday. Believe it or not, it's bound to be. As long as you're not in love with anyone else, why don't you fall in love with me, oh gee? Why don't you fall in love with me?
And just like Fonzie at Arnold's Drive-In, I'm going to pound the side of the jukebox. Save myself a nickel there.
I said no.
Oh, please.
I said no.
Oh, please.
I said no now.
Oh, please. Pretty baby.
I said no.
Well, why?
Of course I said no.
Oh, gee whiz, why?
I said no, now stop, get away.
Oh, don't be that way. Can't you try?
Oh, well, maybe.
Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Now?
Well?
Gee, this is swell. You will never know how much it really will mean.
Jeez.
All right. I'll confess. I'll say yes. 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 I'll subscribe to your Yank magazine.
Certainly not what I thought it would be.
Thank you. I was thinking some double entendre myself there.
Not only that, yep, but it could be two different things.
Not back then. Not back then. Well, okay, maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe,
that's
maybe.
Sometimes the best kind of humor. I thought that was a great way to handle adult topics back in the day, where you could have some a little bit of almost adult fun humor-wise, yet not to over-educate the little ones. Or raise questions you don't really want to answer, you know?
That's true.
What's this mean? I heard you say it when you were really mad, Dad. Yeah, never mind.
Oh, gosh.
Don't ask unless you want me to get mad again. Oh, goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Next
week,
I was wondering, may we have another song, perchance?
Sure, we got
there.
We got time for one more, and then we can go ahead into gross and disgusting self-promotion.
Okay, my time for the wooden nickel.
Okay.
There you go.
Scroll up here.
Miss Andrews, may I present Mr. Kurt Massey?
Charmed, I'm sure.
Mr. Massey, allow me to make you known to Miss Patty Andrews.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Miss Andrews wishes to extend an invitation to you, Mr. Massey, to join her in a kiss goodnight.
What I mean is, time's a-wasting.
Well, what I mean, let's get going.
Well, what we both mean is, pucker up and let's go. A kiss goodnight is all right, but remember this, that a kiss goodnight leads to another kiss.
The idea.
Kiss goodnight with a hug real tight.
Please, man.
Nothing short of bliss. But a kiss goodnight leads to another kiss.
It's an old custom for a boy and a girl to embrace in some secluded place.
Little Mr. Cupid never could be quite so stupid
as to do a turn about face.
So
it just stayed right
to kiss you goodnight and then stop at 3 hours.
Mr. Cupid never could be quite so stupid
as to do a turn about face. So just stay
right
to kiss you goodnight and then stop. At 3 or 4, I'll mark out the kiss.
That being done, I think it's time to start plotting and scheming another all-musical night. Those were so much fun, Dave.
They were. And they sound like I found a bunch more V-discs, so we got a V-disc night coming up here.
Yes.
Viva Las Vegas.
Viva la V-disc. Okay, now I think we can start promoting next weekend. Body snatching. Ooh, yeah. So Friday we got X-1, Exploring Tomorrow, and Mysterious Traveler. And next Saturday, how about another CBS Radio Mystery Theater? I think you'll like that one, CW, The First Woman in Space.
Outstanding. It's about time. All right.
Yeah. Another girl power tale from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And then the following weekend, we'll be doing some toiky leftovers for our Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can't believe it's here already.
I know. The turkeys are running for the hills.
Yep. And
So are the meatloaf mixes at our house.
Yeah. Well, no, Dave does this annual meatloaf dinner thing for Thanksgiving.
Yes. Started with a friend of mine who loves my wife's meatloaf. And so every year for Thanksgiving, she does a meatloaf, which he comes over and partakes in with us.
Well done.
No, sometimes. No, it's just right.
Yeah, it's about medium.
Medium. Okay, I walk right into that. I just walk right into it.
That's right. Not mine. Just run it through a warm room.
Yeah.
Yours truly will be partaking of a great big juicy salad.
Well. Hey, that's good, though. That's good if you like it.
Vegetables.
Hey, a good salad can be great. We had many this year. I did it okay with my garden, other than almost impaling myself.
I was going to say, except when you can keep upright, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you heard, CW, but I tripped on the fence around my garden and landed on my neck on a fence post. Almost impaled myself.
Yes.
It was not
Didn't
fun.
Didn't you see that in a Hammer horror film where they got rid of Dracula one time? Yeah.
I don't know. It would have been comical, but yet horrific at the same time. But we'll be back next week. Don't forget, Terror of the Ghoul coming up right after we're done, which according to the British lady who just screamed in my ear about 60 seconds. Thank you for joining us. We've reached, 60,000 listens, and we're up to, a lot of shows. We're about to hit 200 for the year, and then we're almost about to hit 1,000 overall. Dave will keep us updated.
We're getting there, man. We're getting there.
We are getting there.
Absolutely. And I'm just here for the ride. Hurrah.
No. You're more, far more than that. And so from CW, Dave and myself, thank you for tuning in to Erie House Radio.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Watch that, Vincent. Watch it.
Don't come alone.
Yeah, of all people, do not forget the lady.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, the timing was good on that.
It was.
Nicely done. Oh, by the way, thank you for the new characterization of my Plague Doctor icon.
Oh, I'm scheming more if I can. I'm trying to find some that are feminine but that are not, how shall we say, too racy.
Don't use pink. No pink. And
no,
yeah,
no pink.
No,
black,
no, and no,
black, white, gray, yes. Pink, no.
No, and no French maid.
No, 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 no. That's, yeah, no, I don't. I'm steering away. There's plenty of those, and I'm like, no, 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 no. No, something feminine, but something plague doctor-ish. Perhaps I'll even break out some drawing materials and actually try to create something fresh. We'll see.
Ooh. Curb your enthusiasm.
I've been inspired. I dug through an old drawer in my desk here. I used to draw a bit.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, he's taking
me,
a breath there.
Yeah,
yeah,
I had to
beat
myself. Tobacco overload.
Oh, for goodness sake.
For some reason, they seem to be interfering with my breathing.
I don't get that.
I am absolutely clueless in regards to how that could occur. I don't understand.
And it ticks me off. You think someone would have warned me about these things?
You'd think,
you know?
You'd think,
or they could
have
put
warning
something on the
package
pack,
or something,
or,
you know?
Yeah, something on the pack. But no.
Great big billboard off the highway. You know, maybe
that would be good. Or you could make a commercial, you know, like of a dad and his kid. You know how kids always look up to the dad, and how they, yeah. You know, like a kind of a like father like son thing. You know, I'll bet you that.
Yeah. Or maybe a doctor. Maybe a doctor could have taken a moment out of, you know, doing whatever doctors do and say, hey,
I'll never trust doctors again. After all. 9 out of 10 of them were smoking Camels at one point, so how can you believe them?
Yeah, it was soothing for the throat. So soothing for the throat.
Yeah, convince both of the Cheneys.
Yeah.
That's not that funny. It's kind of tragic. Especially the elder, taken so soon. And, I mean, he was ramping up with some seriously good horror.
He was, yeah.
Just think, though, he could have been Dracula. If he had survived, he could have been Dracula. He was the first.
He may have been. Yeah, he may have been, and that would just could have. He was he was their first thought, was he not?
Yeah, he absolutely was, but he had already become ailing, I believe, because he passed not much long after, and then Lugosi had been petitioning them forever. It's got to be me. It's got to be me. It's got to be me. No one else could do this. I'm doing it on Broadway.
He didn't know English that way. He learned all of his lines phonetically.
From what I understand, though, he was very, very persistent and finally obtained the role.
That's very much what Peter Lorre was. He learned phonetically as well. Did not understand English when he started working for Hitchcock. He just, when he was auditioning with him, he knew Hitchcock loved to tell a story. So when he got to a certain point where he stopped, Peter Lorre always laughed, so Hitchcock thought he knew what he was talking about.
And I think Lorre mastered sounding more American than Lugosi ever did.
Yes.
I don't know if he just did that on his own. I mean, perhaps he was just one of those people who just couldn't get rid of that accent. I mean, as I said once before, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's had tons of dialogue, and he sounds a great deal better than he did, but he still has a heavy accent.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Davey,
go ahead.
First.
No, I was just thinking that, you know, in a way, Lugosi really wasn't forced to, because he didn't get a lot of A-pitcher work, but he got a ton of B-pitcher work. He was just about always working. And so, you know, he wasn't really forced into speaking more correctly than what he did. So that's just kind of my theory of it.
I think that's part of it. It could be a certain stubbornness. Lugosi had a great deal of pride, and I think we were talking about this in another after party not long ago. And I don't know how old you are, and I'm not going to go there, CW, but like guys my age and Dave's age and Gar's age, we have relatives that some of them never spoke English. The family that adopted me, what would be my grandparents, not one of them deigned to learn English. They insisted that their kids did because that's why they came to America for opportunity, but I don't think they saw it so much for themselves. It was a hardworking generation, but I think they wanted it more for their kids. And there was no impetus for them to learn English when they moved into neighborhoods where their churches, all those local shops, they all spoke that language that of the neighborhood that people collected in. There were Polish neighborhoods and Italian neighborhoods and Irish neighborhoods and Asian neighborhoods. And in a way, it was really nice because you felt comfortable at home. But then again, when you separate people too much, then they start accentuating the differences, and I think people tend to be more not nice to each other when you separate people too much.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, and what's interesting is that when I lived in Buffalo, one of our neighbors, we were the Eberleys. They escaped from East Germany to America for, of course, a better life. In the Buffalo, there's a bit of a German contingency around there because the Schlichter Organ Company is there, and they all worked at the Schlichter Organ Company. And they learned to speak English, believe us or not, through watching television, you know?
I can believe that.
It's pretty bad when Ronald McDonald becomes your English instructor.
Two hobbies, patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, and sesame seed bun. Yum. Yo-ho.
Yo-ho. Das smack of bigness. the thing is with German, though, we had choices of languages we were forced to take, and I think it was eighth grade. They called it exploratory language. And in our school, you could take either German, French, or Spanish. And I chose German, mostly because I didn't want to do it. And it was the easiest because Germanic is very structurally similar to English. Like when you get into Spanish and French, sometimes they flip the verbs and the nouns around and things like that.
Yes, they do, yeah.
So the sentence structure is different, where there's a lot of similarities in Germany to English, at least the English we think we know. But it seemed easier. It was also, you know, since I was being people were trying to push me into this science and math, at least it was a more science-oriented language. When I retire, I swear to you, I swear for no reason that I can think of, no logical reason, I would love to learn Latin. Just for the heck of it.
Ooh, okay, that's...
There's some archaic language that's no longer spoken appeals to me. I don't know why.
So you can talk to yourself and not understand what you're saying? What?
So maybe. That could be the driving force. I don't know. But I think I would like to learn Latin.
Well, you probably have a better understanding since French and Spanish and Portuguese, they're all based on Latin. Thank you, ancient Romans.
Well, growing up a Roman Catholic, too, you were exposed to a lot of Latin in church. In the 60s, in the Catholic churches, at least in my experience, a lot of the Mass was still done in Latin.
Yeah.
Can you imagine over in the Polish neighborhood? They're doing Polish and Latin. Hey, now there's a good time. But, you know, I remember the priest saying stuff. Like, he seemed like he was bragging, though. He'd always say, I can play a dominoes better than you can. And I just, it bothered me. I thought that was kind of rude. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I retire, I just want that little chip embedded in there. That way I'll know every language on the planet. I don't have to worry about it. My phone right now can speak, you know. Hey, you want to speak some Spanish here? Hello. Hola. That's the phone.
There's a lot of cool applications to Latin, though. There's a lot of legal terms. You know, if you, depending on what you do
medical,
for...
Corpus delicti.
medical terms, yeah.
absolutely.
Rigor mortis.
That's really a language of the sciences as well. Rigor mortis. Leave it to the plague doctor.
I think I'm with CW though. I'm going to go with chips, but my chips will be with the Lawson's chip dip. So you know that's the kind of chips I go.
Oh, that is such good stuff. If you only knew the glory of Lawson's chip dip, CW.
I'm afraid it's not in my market. I've never seen it. The only time I've ever heard of it is when you guys are just watering at the mouth over it.
Yes, yes.
Vegetarian, okay, because you got your onion in there. The only thing is I don't know if you're against milk-like products. Do you consume milk-like products at all, like cheese or those kind of things?
On a rare occasion, more and more it's becoming the vegan milk and the vegan cheese. But if I ever came across a Lawson's, I might partake just once.
It is incredible. Mm.
Is that like the grass milk? It's like the grass milk commercial Al and I did?
No, they make almond milk.
Hazelnut.
How do you milk an almond?
Hazelnut milk.
Very carefully.
Carefully.
Oh, you milk an almond.
Gently, and you have to wear
hazelnut.
Gloves. Yeah.
Well, there's rice milk, almond milk, hemp milk. I feel like Forrest Gump now.
Hemp,
you know, there's
milk.
Rice, hemp. Yes, there is hemp milk.
Vitamin D and a good buzz. Hey.
Of course, there's rice milk, oat
it's
milk.
Way big, man. Hemp milk.
Yes.
Put it on your cereal, man. Oh, my goodness.
Keep going here. Keep going here. I might have something to share in a minute. Go ahead. Keep going.
Rice Krispies, Snap, Crackle, and whoa, they're really talking to me now. Hey.
That's right. Hey, we could come
Tony
up with a whole
Tiger.
Series. LSD
Tony
Flake.
The Tiger.
Whoa.
Yeah. Tony Tiger says they're great. Clunk. Hey, man, you all right down there?
Get baked with Cocoa Krispies. And you'll get Flintstoned. There you go. Yeah, but frickin' do.
Yeah, I can't.
Dave is scheming something, folks. If you're
there's Wheaties.
Just this new type of milk I can share with CW here. But go ahead, keep going. I'm almost there.
Oh,
a new kind of milk. Like yak milk
for CW.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. There's cashew milk, of course. And
where do you find this stuff? I mean, I've seen soy milk and almond milk at the store, but I haven't seen that great variety of others that you've mentioned. Cashew
Wally
milk.
World has it. Yeah, Wally World. I've seen it in Wally World. Of course, a good health food store would have a selection of it, but it's in Wally World. Much more mainstream now. Publix.
Egypt.
I would go to the health food store, but it's too far to walk. You know.
All right. Did you guys hear that clinking sound?
Yes, I did. I did.
Okay. Well, that means I should be able to pull this up. Let's see. Come on. Where are you? Here you are. There we are. Here we go.
Turn it up a little, brother.
Today there are so many choices that you've already lost from calcium by the time you make up your mind as to which one to choose. With cow milk, goat's milk, buttermilk, and lactose-free milk, there are so many kinds to choose from.
And then they started making milk out of things like almonds and coconuts and soy, you know, but they might have missed the most obvious alternative to cow milk by simply looking out their window.
And that's why the Milk Company of America has created Kraft Milk.
That's right. The same grass that I cut every week, sometimes twice, in a carton, all ready to drink more to pour onto your cereal every morning.
And not only will you get calcium from this, like other milks, but you'll also get something that no other milk can give you, chlorophyll.
And you can always find it when drinking Nebraska because of their bright green teeth.
So don't stand in front of the milk cooler getting milk frostbite. Just reach in and grab a carton of grass milk.
Another fine product of the Milk Company of America.
That's right. Don't wait for that. Don't wait for that grass to pass through the cow. Get it straight in the carton.
There you go. Grass milk.
There's pictures of missing cattle on the side of the carton.
Yep. Yep.
If you ever wonder what to do with those lawn clippings, now you know what to do.
There you go.
That's
put
right.
Put it in the blender, and hey, there you go.
Hey.
There you go.
Grass milk. Yum. Grass milk ice cream.
Prices keep going up. We all may be forced to do exactly that.
Oh, my.
Goodness, either that or invest in your own cow.
Yeah. Yep, I used to eat very poorly. Probably spells out a lot of my condition right now. But as I try to eat more wisely, I am certainly eating far more vegetables and fruit, and I'm having so much fun growing it in the yard. You know, I had some nice peaches this year, a ton of good pears. So some nice cobbler was made. Hey, if I had grapes, I could have fruit cocktail.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Well, once try them. You know, just get a vine and, you know, put it near a fence, and if they take off.
They could. There's a lot of folks in our area that grow them a little bit north, closer to the lake. There's a lot of vineyards. Like, Dave, you know Avon Lake area?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of vineyards up there, and as you know, going out west as you head towards like Sandusky, there's a lot of vineyards along the way.
Yes, there is. Yep.
So we certainly have the climate for it.
That's because there's nothing else to do out there, but
yeah.
Okay.
Just grow your own booze.
Grow your own booze and watch the grapes grow. That's it. You know.
Sometimes those, like in my mother-in-law's old neighborhood in Brook Park, one of her neighbor friends had a bunch of grapes growing off the fence there. And I'll tell you what, those things were really, really sour. They were like the purple type, you know? But
they're
they just
wild. They weren't cultivated right in, I bet.
Probably.
I bet they had a little white stuff growing on them from time to time.
That I hadn't noticed.
It's yeast that will grow on them because they're fermenting. And occasionally you'll see birds eating them. Nothing says fun and laughable as seeing a bird get a little wasted because they'll eat them and they get a little more.
That's why they keep running into the glass, huh?
I think some of my pears were fermenting. I caught a raccoon in the pear tree, and he was acting like I thought, well, maybe he has distemper or something else is wrong with him because he was acting like he was four sheets to the wind. Fell out of the tree.
Yeah.
He was wobbling away. Unless he ate himself into a stupor. Maybe he had diabetes. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Has anyone ever watched that guy, the raccoon whisperer, who's somewhere up in Canada?
Yes.
No.
Oh, my God. And he gets that horde of them coming to visit him?
Yeah,
that guy?
Dave, that's the one. Dave, you need to take a look at that. That is hilarious. This guy, and especially the 2020 clip in winter around November, they were literally, it's like attack of the crazy. I mean, they were all over the place.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Crazy amount of raccoons on this guy's porch, and he's feeding them. I mean, he's shoveling out the food for these things. It's hilarious. The raccoon was fur.
Yep, that's his name.
Wow. Okay.
So definitely, he's got I think a 500,000 followers, and
yeah, but they're all raccoons, so
that's
just a raccoon.
People, yeah, that's just a raccoon. But yeah, he actually kind of a claim to fame. He used to be a Royal Canadian. I don't know if he was a Mountie. Maybe he was a Mountie. I think he was a Mountie, but he saw.
He only talked to horses then.
Oh yeah.
And
but
saw
a UFO.
Now?
How pleasure to speak. Now?
Wait a minute. His horse was named Horse, wasn't it?
Yes.
Dudley Do Right.
Mm-hmm.
His horse was named Horse.
Yeah.
Of Canadians, no sense of humor. At least when you mention Dudley Do Right, they get a little testy about that.
I don't know why. There's been such great comics that came out of Canada.
Yeah,
Leslie
Nielsen.
Oh, God. Leslie Nielsen.
Well, you think of John Candy and Joe Flaherty and Eugene Levy and so many of those. Second City people came out of Canada. Dan Aykroyd.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Dan Aykroyd actually has a winery up not far from Niagara Falls in Canada. This is only
Niagara Falls. Slowly
I turn.
Step by step. Inch by inch. All right.
Yes. But with that being said, I must be away. Duty calls.
It's a good time to wrap up.
Okay. That does mean that she's got one more job to do before we're done here tonight, Dale.
Excuse me. Knock, knock. Mr. Durante, you're on.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good
night.
It's time to say good night. Thanks,
guys. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
No, thank you.
What more does this say? But good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and
inka-tinka-doo.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever you are.